You won't have to indulge me for a minute. I'm having a proud daddy moment. Those scripture readers don't always get the credit they deserve. If you're visiting with us, we want you to feel welcomed. You are our honored guests. You know, the scripture that Christian just read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 is something that I've been really touching on a lot at home with my kids. And you know, this what inspired this sermon. And so please bear with me if it's sometimes if it comes across as condescending. I really need to explain the verses, and we're going to go through them in detail. And it's because we have to be prepared to give a defense and to be able to tell people, especially the people that just want to believe but just don't know enough about God, you know. And we got to be ready to prepare to talk to them in those kinds of situations. And I thought I'd start my introduction by talking about, by asking first, have any of y'all, I'm sure most of y'all here, have seen the Rocky movies, right? I hope so, because there's like six of them. You know, everybody really enjoys those Rocky movies because everybody likes those underdog stories. You know, who doesn't like the little guy to win? And for those of you who haven't seen it, the story is about a character named Rocky Balboa, and he's played by the actor Sylvester Stallone. You know, and this guy is just a guy in the streets of Philadelphia trying to make it. He's a boxer, and he can't even get a locker in a sweaty old gym. And the champion of the world is Apollo Creed, and he gives this guy a shot because he's gonna box for the championship, and I mean he's gonna box, defend his title, and the guy he's supposed to box can't fight. So he says, "I'm not gonna let my training go to waste." So he said, "Let's give this guy a shot. Let's go, the Italian Stallion. I really like this name." So he goes, "Let's give this guy a shot." And, you know, long story short, this guy, Rocky, unsurmountable odds, just goes out there and fights the champion of the world for 15 rounds. And he ends up losing. But in Rocky II, he goes on to win, you know. But the key is that, the point is that he was given the shot. And, you know, believe it or not, there's actual a true underdog story in that whole Rocky thing. By the time we get to Rocky III, Sylvester Stallone has really risen as an actor and all this stuff, and he's very popular. So now he's got a lot of say in production and direction of the movies. So by 1982 or 1983, movie soundtracks are really big. So Sylvester Stallone, he goes up to the producers. I'm not going to imitate Rocky, but he goes up to them and he tells them, "I would like to create the Rocky aura in real life. I want to pick an up-and-coming band to play the soundtrack, to play the main song to the soundtrack of this new movie." So he goes through and he likes this band out of Chicago. They're just trying to make it big. They're just not really known except in the streets of Chicago. And then he gives them a shot and he lets them watch the movie, preview the movie. So this band, Survivor, makes a song, "The Eye of the Tiger." And that song skyrockets to number one in the Billboard Top 40 and stays at number one for a long time. And in 1983 was the number one song. And it's today considered one of the best songs ever written in contemporary music, arguably, you know, but that's a fact. It's a neat story. Both of those stories are neat because everybody loves to be given the shot. But I'm not here to talk about Rocky per se. Yeah, that's just an introduction. And I don't want to talk about Survivor. I want to talk about the true underdogs. And it's a story that involves us. And that's what I really like about about the underdogs is that we are truly underdogs, and in order to understand how much of underdogs we are, we got to go to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. It says there, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us.'" Now I want to stop there for a minute, because a good Bible student would look at this and look at the us. And notice how, why is the us a capital U there? And that's because it's talking about the deity there. It's talking about the Godhead per se. It's the Lord God and the Lord Jesus. They're talking right there. The Godhead right there. "It has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." Now what I want us to take from this passage is that, first of all, that we are made from the ground. That it just epitomizes our humble beginnings, if you will, as to how low we are, our beginnings. Lower than even a sweaty gym trying to get a locker there. You know, and also what we can take for this is that we are not God, obviously. We are made of flesh and blood. And now that we know good from evil, which it's problematic because this flesh and blood thing. So we get kicked out of the garden here. You can see that we get kicked out. So we were made for a purpose, and God created us with a purpose, but we betrayed that trust that was committed to us. And so we look at another passage in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Now, I don't want to take this passage out of context, so I'll just read it, but then I'll explain a little bit. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, this is speaking to the Jews and the Gentiles, but it's referring to the Mosaic Law. Now, the Mosaic Law came along to justify man, an attempt to justify man. But even that, we needed help. Even with that, because we fall short. And you know what it means to fall short. So you can see clearly that we are truly underdogs. We need a little help. Luckily, we're given a shot. We're given a shot to succeed because we have an advocate in Christ Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Now, I want especially the young people that are going to read along in this passage to not give up on me on this passage, because some of these passages can get very hard, but I promise we're going to get into them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now, let's look at what does it mean to be an advocate? An advocate is a person who pleads for somebody or in their behalf, or an intercessor or a lawyer per se. So it's like having a lawyer in the court of heaven. Can you think of any better lawyer to have representing us? Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is there talking to his Father. He is our advocate. And you know, what's it mean, propitiation? What's all that mean for you young people? What's that mean? Well, it's an appeasement, or to render favorable. And that is what the blood of Jesus was. It's to conciliate, if you will. Now, let me give you an example of that. For example, you know, in my almost 20 years of federal law enforcement experience, I've caught a goon or two, and they are covered with tattoos, usually on arms and even on the neck. And sometimes they're scruffy, and they have goatees, and they have long hair. But their lawyer, their advocate, when it's time for court, I'm looking at a whole different person. I'm looking at somebody who's clean cut and shaven, hair, you know, and they have, of course, their tattoos covered. And they look pretty, like pretty smooth characters. They look like they wouldn't harm a fly. But they have one thing against them, is the evidence that the government has against them. Jesus, in a more grander scale, our advocate, cleans us up really nice. Isn't that nice? Isn't that neat? But notice, in this passage, those last five words. If we keep his commandments. There is something that's required of us. And that's what I'm going to touch on as we continue this lesson. We also have a shot. We're given a shot by God because we are loved by him. We are loved by God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verses 9 through 10, it says, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation," there's that word again, "for our sins." Now, in this passage, and you've heard me say this many times when I come up here and do the Lord's Supper, I always say that our finite minds, it just cannot comprehend that kind of love, you know. It's really hard for us to understand that kind of love. And one word that's often overlooked is that word begotten. That he loved us so much that he sent not only his only Son, but his begotten Son. If you've ever studied the etymology of that word, you understand that it's got the connotation that it's the one of a kind. One of a kind. I mean, you know, I can't even get rid of a penny with an Indian head on it because it's one of a kind. But there's more out there. I know there is. But this is God's only Son. Like, there is no other like him. And there never will be. A perfect sacrifice. That is what God gave up for us. Isn't that awesome? And here's what we can learn from this passage additionally, is that God's love for man, it exists. And it has been manifested. What's it mean, manifested? It's been revealed. It's been revealed how? According to this passage, through the gift. What's the gift? The gift is his Son. That is God's gift to us, his only begotten Son. That is awesome. And the purpose of this gift is that we might live through him. So we were born with a purpose. That is our whole drive. And once we accept Jesus Christ in our lives, and we accept that love, we choose to live in Christ. And that's what it means by if we keep his commandments. And we continue. The love of God. Man, we just couldn't do without it. And you know, we are also reconciled with God. We have a shot. We are given a huge shot because we are reconciled with God. And this passage in Romans chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Now, what's it mean, reconciliation? Most people here not, understand that word. But can you allow me just a quick story? You know, my youngest son, and I'm not going to mention his name because he don't like me mentioning his name. So my youngest son, you know who he is. When I rebuke him, or have to discipline him, my wife has to remind me to go make up with him because he won't be able to sleep that night. And if he does sleep that night, he wakes up in the morning remembering that. He remembers that. And so I have to go over there and make up with him, reconcile with him, and I give him a hug and remind him that I love him. And I have to remind him of the way he's supposed to comport himself. It is important in a much, again, in a much grander scale. It is important that we understand that we have to reconcile with God. We have to accept that reconciliation. And we will get into what, because we don't stand a chance if we're at war with God. The opposite of being reconciled is being at war with him. And, having God as an enemy is not a good thing. We will lose that war. But this reconciliation was made possible through the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus died so we could live. But this isn't automatic. Just because we exist. And we got to understand that. That man must be reconciled to God, not God to man. Because see, God has done his part. He has sent his only begotten son so we can be reconciled. But it is now up to us to bring our character into harmony with God. That is what we shoot for. By reproducing the life of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do, is try to reproduce that. And that's what completes this reconciliation process. That's what completes that. And when we comply with these prescribed conditions. Otherwise, we just don't have a shot. Now, God's mercy. Boy, God's mercy. Let's get into that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. And I'm going to mention several of these, and they're not in any particular order from most important and these gifts. This is just important that we get into, I get that out there, that these are not in any particular order. But God's mercy, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 through 5, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Now, in this passage, it has several elements. You see love there, which we just covered. And then you see grace in there, which we're about to cover. But those are huge. But we'll get to that in a minute. But if mercy is God's attitude towards the sinner, love is his motive. That is what drives the other. A lot of these kind of overlap and coincide, and we will see that throughout this lesson. But in this passage, we cannot overlook the obvious. The obvious here is that we were dead in our trespasses. And, in the movie Rocky, he at least has a shot, because he's going to get in the ring and he's going to at least get to take a swing, maybe. But we were dead in our trespasses and sin. But because of God's mercy, we're given a shot. You see, but the thing is, are we willing to accept that God's mercy? And if you look at the very top, how it describes mercy of this passage, is that it's rich in mercy. In other words, it's exhaustless. There's plenty of it. That mercy's there. But we just got to take it. We got to take that shot. And then last, God's grace. And maybe I should have mentioned God's grace first. But like I said, this isn't in no particular order. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift," there's that word again, "it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, Gentiles and Jews in this passage are saved by grace. In other words, no one's excluded here. That is the favor and mercy of God. Now, I don't want anybody here, especially you young people, I don't want you going home and saying, well, Brother Maldonado said that in that last passage that by grace we are saved. But then it says through faith. So which one is it, grace or faith? Well, here's how it works. See, through faith, that is the medium through which we accept salvation. In other words, from God above, that's where the grace comes from. The faith is how man's part. That's how we accept that grace, is through that faith. You see, it's not something that we earned, according to this passage. It's just it just doesn't work that way. You can't try to say, well, I deserve this. I earned this. No, you shouldn't even boast or even think like that, because that's not how it works. It's a gift from God. It says it there. It's a gift. I guarantee you one thing about the Maldonado household. All the Christmas presents that were under the Christmas tree are now opened and revealed. There is not a single present that is unopened, okay? If there was a present that was unopened, then it's not a present, is it? If grace is unopened under your tree somewhere, then you haven't accepted that shot that God has given you. And, I remember my grandfather telling me a long time ago, and he was toying with me, obviously. But I said, Grandpa, how do I get to heaven? And he goes, well, you need 100 points. And he was always like that, always kind of joking with me, and it said 100 points. And I said, well, I don't lie. I was lying, but I said, I don't lie. And he goes, well, you got 2 points. I said, well, I don't talk back to mom and dad. And 2 points. 2 points? I'm never going to get there. And then I remember him telling me, my grandfather telling me, he said, one day you'll understand, son, the gifts from God. And I never understood at that time. I was little, grace and these kinds of things. But we need God's grace. We just can't do it alone. Rocky couldn't have done it without that shot. That band, Survivor, would be an unknown band if it wasn't for that shot. We have a shot. And, you know, this goes out to all the young people and the young Christians out there. I want this because hopefully a lot of this we understand, the people that have been Christians for quite some time. But please don't leave here today without at least studying some of these passages that we covered today. Because there's going to be a time, if you haven't already, that you're going to come across a free thinker. And there's two kinds of free thinkers. There's your atheists and there's your agnostics. And both are equally dangerous. The agnostics, they don't quite believe in God, or they have doubts about a God. Atheists just don't believe in God. And then you have those people that maybe believe in God but don't know why. And there's plenty of those people in the religious world. But if you can think back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the passage that Christian read before I came up here, is that we got to be able to give a defense. If a free thinker or somebody, you may not convince them, but that's not what's mandated of you, is to convince them if they're that like that. Your purpose, your mandate has been to be able to give a defense as to what the hope that is in you. That is what you're supposed to do. So you may want to tell them about why there's hope in you, because you understand that you are truly disadvantaged, that you don't have a shot in the world without Christ in your life, and that you understand that he is your advocate, that he's going to fight for you. He's going to be there. And that because of the love that God had and sent his only begotten son, understanding that word begotten and explaining it to them, and that because of that we have that reconciliation, that we're not at war with God, and that gives you peace. And then because of the mercy that you've accepted, that God has given, that it's that has given and it's so plentiful out there, that you accept that mercy, understanding that you are nobody without God. And then because of his grace that we're able to make it when we just weren't given a shot. If we weren't given the shot. But because of all these things that we covered today, we have, back to that passage, 1 Peter 3:15, we have hope. And you know, ultimately what all this boils down to is that this is the greatest underdog story ever told. Better than any movie, better than any band that made a song. And it's something that we need to live by. Be able to give a defense. Now the question for you that are here that maybe have not obeyed the gospel is simply this. Are you willing to accept these gifts here from God so you too can have a shot at salvation? Lesson is yours as together we stand.